You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
Acts chapter 4 in your Bibles, and let's all stand together. Brother Daniel, will you come please and lead us in, we'll begin in verse number 13, Acts chapter 4.
Pastor Krauss. At this time, all those in pastor's pals may be dismissed to their class tonight. Acts chapter 4, we begin reading in verse number 13, all the way to 22. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed."
Amen. And let's pray. Our Father, I thank you for the precious Word of God. I thank you that it never changes. I thank you that it is always so powerful. It is always so practical. It is able to pierce and to convict us, but it's also able to help us and to strengthen us. And Lord, we certainly need you tonight to speak to us. I pray that you would work in every heart, and I pray you'd minister to every life. Lord, I do not know the needs and the burdens of everyone in this room. I know a few, but Lord, you know every need. And you can meet every need. And I believe that your word has the answers to every problem that we have ever faced and every problem we'll ever face in the future. And I pray that we would listen and receive your word. And I pray that you'd do a mighty work in us through because of the time we're together tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We see in Acts chapter 4, I see the word in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness..." I like that word, boldness. You know, we're missing that in our society today when it comes to Christian people. The Bible says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." I'd like to know where some of those lions are. I'd like to know where some of those righteous people are, because it seems like we shrink and we cower. And we're scared, and we don't want to offend anybody. And we watch too much television, and we listen to too much news that we think we can no longer speak the truth boldly. I'm not saying you need to be obnoxious. I'm not saying you need to try to pick a fight. I'm not saying you need to try to stir something up. I think you ought to be kind. I think you can speak the truth in love. But at the end of the day, our message does not change. The Bible does not change. We have the truth of the Word of God. And I think in 2024, we need some old-fashioned boldness. Maybe you need to go to the spiritual medicine cabinet and get a bottle of boldness and take a couple big teaspoons full of that every day. Because we need boldness like we've never needed it before. We need to be bold on the fact that there is a God. And that he is our creator. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what the scientists say. God created this world. In the beginning, God. We need to get back to believing that there is a God and that heaven is real. Don't let people intimidate you to where you can't talk about heaven. Don't let people intimidate you to where you feel like you can't mention that hell is a real place. Heaven is real and hell is real. As a matter of fact, those places are more real than where you and I are today. Because heaven is forever and hell is eternal, but this world's going to burn up. Let's not back down when it comes to the truth of God and his word. I'll tell you this, I still believe that this book is the word of God. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover where it says Jeremy Coburnat on it. I want to tell you, this book, it is the truth. It is our anchor. And you don't have to worry about public opinion. You don't have to worry about what people think. Doesn't matter what people think. What matters is, what does God say? We need to be bold when it comes to salvation. I preached this morning, and I hope you understand that as a preacher of the gospel, I have a responsibility. Every now and again, just to say, we're pushing everything else aside, and we just want to make sure that you're saved. We just want to make sure you know. I don't want people to come to Victory Baptist Church for weeks or months or, God forbid, years, and leave this place and think they're okay if they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. What are we doing? We're wasting our time if we're not telling people how to be saved. What are we doing in master clubs and junior church and Sunday schools? And what are we doing at Victory Christian Academy if young people can come in here and leave here and never realize their need of a Savior? We need to be bold when it comes to the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We must be bold when it comes to what the Bible teaches. We must be bold when it comes to what God says about holiness, what God says about purity, what God says about separation. Did you know separation is still in the Bible? If you can fit in with the world, and I can fit in with the world, and you can go all week, and nobody can tell a difference between you and the crowd that is living like the devil, something is wrong. I just find in the Bible that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we certainly need boldness. I'm amazed and I'm convicted many times when I see how bold people will be when it comes to sports. Now, my wife and I, we lived in California for many years. And in California, we would go occasionally to a San Francisco Giants baseball game. And when you went to that Giants baseball game, there's a lot of different ball caps you could wear. But you better not wear an LA Dodgers ball cap or shirt in that stadium, for fear for bodily harm. And I'm not kidding you. I mean, it's real. And it's amazing how people would still, they would go in wanting to draw attention. They'd go in with a Dodgers jersey, a Dodgers hat, and I'm thinking, buddy, it's not worth it. Your team stinks anyway. I mean, why in the world would you want to bring this on yourself? But they would be bold when it came to their team. Where I grew up in Illinois, we went to some Chicago Cubs games, the old Wrigley Field there in Chicago. And boy, those Cubs fans, they were diehard. And you better not wear a St. Louis Cardinals hat. You better not wear a Cardinals jersey when you go to a Cubs game. That just doesn't work. We'll bring it down to where we live. You don't go into Cameron Indoor wearing UNC Tar Heels, right? You don't go to that UNC basketball game and you're wearing your Duke Blue Devils. It's not going to be good. There's going to be some stuff spilled on you. There's going to be some people cussing at you. There's going to be some people that don't like it. And it's amazing how we can be bold about things like that. But when it comes to things like the Bible, salvation, when it comes to things that really matter, sometimes we get quiet. In the Old Testament, we see the command that God's people were to be strong and of good courage. Why were they given that admonition? Because they were going into battle. They were going into a battle with swords and spears and shields and weapons, and they were going in, and it was life or death. And in the Old Testament, God's people were commanded to be strong and be very courageous. And in the New Testament, God's people are told to be bold and to be courageous. Now, we're not in a physical battle. We're not sending you out this week with swords and spears, but we're sending you out this week with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going out this week with the whole armor of God. We're going out this week with the power of prayer, because we are still in a battle. It's just a different kind of battle. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And may God give us a dose of boldness like we've never had before. First of all, I see in this passage, I see their confidence, number one. The Bible says that when they saw their boldness, verse number 13, and I like this, and they perceived, they just figured out that these guys were not very smart. They were ignorant. They were unlearned. They didn't have the best education. And so these men, they've just questioned them in the beginning of chapter 4. They've laid hands on them. They've threatened them. They've said, don't you do this anymore. And Peter says, you know you crucified Jesus, right? You know you're the one responsible for killing Jesus. And Peter is not afraid to tell them the truth. And he's not afraid to preach the gospel. And these guys say, Peter and John, these guys have lost their minds. They are bold. They're not even that smart, but they sure are bold. By the way, there's hope for us. You may not be that smart, and I may not be that smart, but hallelujah, we can still be bold. Amen? But they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled. They thought, how can these men be so confident? And how can these men be so bold in their faith? I want to say their confidence was not in themselves. And our confidence is not in us, but our confidence is in God. Our confidence is in His Word. Our confidence is not in our power, but it is in the power of the Holy Spirit who is working in us. I want to ask you tonight, could you say that you are a confident Christian? Could you say that you are a bold Christian? Paul said that I want with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ to be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Ephesians 6, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, and he said, pray for me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He said, pray for me that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I want you to turn with me, please. We'll be back in Acts 4, but I want you to turn with me to Hebrews 13. I've read this chapter, and I've studied this chapter, but I've never quite seen it like I saw it this week. I love Hebrews 13. Because this is the passage where we see in verse number 5 that God has promised He will never leave us. And He will never forsake us. Boy, that ought to bless your heart tonight. Amen. You're not going out this week alone. And you were not alone this past week. You have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You have got someone who lives inside of you, and He has said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And I'm thankful for that promise that God is with us. But notice verse number 6. We see Hebrews 13, 5, that God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. But verse number 6, so that we may boldly say. You know why God gave us that promise? So we could boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. You know, Jesus told His disciples, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but be afraid of someone who can kill both body and soul, and be afraid of a God in heaven who can give you eternal reward or eternal punishment. He said, you better be real careful who you're afraid of. You better make sure your fear is in the right place, but that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Number one, I see their confidence. But secondly, I want you to see tonight, not only their confidence, but I see their cause. The reason that they could be so bold, the reason that they could be so confident, it's found in verse number 13. The Bible says that they took knowledge of them, that they had been with who? With Jesus. You know why these guys were so bold? They'd spent time with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They talked to Jesus. Jesus talked to them. And I want to tell you this week, you're not going to be very bold, and I'm not going to be very bold in my Christian life if I've not spent time with Jesus. Because if I haven't spent time with Jesus, then I'm placing all my confidence in myself. And the arm of flesh will fail us. Our strength is not enough. Our intelligence is not enough. Our experience is not enough. We need some power that only comes from Him. And our confidence must be in Christ. They took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. It's interesting to me. I've spent a lot of time in my life, of course, spent a lot of time around my dad. And sometimes when I'm around people that knew my dad, like we were last week in Illinois, I've had several people over the years said, you know, the way you say that reminds me of your dad. Or the way you do that reminds me of your dad. And sometimes I'll catch myself. Have you ever caught yourself? You say something and you say, that sounded exactly like my dad. Wow. And sometimes it's things I thought, I'm never going to say that. I'm never going to do that. No, not me. No, oh yeah, you. You better watch out. I'll be around some folks, and they'll say, you know, you remind me of Pastor Treib, right? My wife and I spent many years at North Valley and Golden State, and I always take that as a compliment when they'll say that about my dad or Pastor Treiber. Now, the things I don't like is when somebody says, you remind me of somebody I know, and then they show me a picture, and they're about 30 years older than I am and about 100 pounds heavier, and they've got even less hair than I do. I don't like those comparisons. But you know why people would say that you remind me of so-and-so? It's because the more time you spend with someone, they will rub off on you. And the more time we spend with Jesus, he's going to rub off on us. I, as a Christian, I want people to say, oh, you've been with Jesus, haven't you? I certainly don't want people to say, wow, you've been hanging out with the devil's crowd, haven't you? We can tell by the way you talk. We can tell by the way you act. We can tell by the way you are. We see that the cause, the reason that they were so bold is that they had been with Jesus. Could anybody accuse you of that? I wonder this week if anybody would say, you know, you sure sound a whole lot like you've been with Jesus. These men realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus, and indeed they had. They were not just speaking like robots or parrots. They were speaking what they knew and what they believed with all of their hearts. They had built their life on Jesus. Verse number 12 in Acts chapter 4, we saw that 2 weeks ago. But their life was built on the cornerstone. Their life was built on Jesus. He was the only thing that they could build their lives upon. Have you been with Jesus this past week? Have you spent time with Jesus today? I promise you this, it will change how you act. It will change how you react. It will affect your spirit. After you've been with Jesus, you're not going to be bitter. You're not going to be angry. You're not going to be upset. You're not going to be vengeful. By the way, if you've been hanging out with yourself, you're going to sound a whole lot like that, and so will I. But if you've spent time with Jesus, it'll give you a peace. It'll give you a calm. It'll give you an assurance. It'll give you a boldness, even through the difficulties of life. Number one, I see their confidence. Number two, I see their cause, the reason for their boldness. They were with Jesus. But thirdly, I see in verse number 16, I see the consequences. It says, verse 15, when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. Now, this is the religious crowd now, the leaders, and they say in verse 16, what shall we do to these men? They're basically saying, we got to stop this. We got to come up with something. This is not going to work. We cannot have these guys running around town, running their mouths about Jesus and salvation and the gospel, and they're going to put us out of business. So what are we going to do about these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them, and is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they may speak henceforth to no man in his name. They said, we're going to have to threaten these guys. We're going to have to scare these guys. We're going to have to intimidate these guys because we must stop this business of their preaching. Now, friend, I want to tell you, this is the book of Acts. This is the beginning of the local church. And here we are in 2024. And I want to tell you, Satan still does not like what's going on in the local church. Satan is adamantly opposed to the preaching of the gospel. Satan is adamantly opposed to teaching children the Word of God. Satan is opposed to sharing the gospel. Satan's opposed to mission work, and he's opposed to bus ministry. Do you think that what we're doing is making the devil happy? On the contrary, what we're doing, the devil is against it. And there will be those who try to stop it, and there will be opposition. Satan is not going to let you slide when you're living for God. Isn't it amazing if you've gone through a time of being backslidden, if you've gone through a time of being away from the Lord? Sometimes during that time, it seems like things are okay. And then you get back to trying to live for God, and all of a sudden, you start having problems. You start having burdens. You start having trials. What is that? That's the attack of the devil trying to discourage you, trying to stop you from living for God. There are consequences. Number four, I see there's certainty. Peter and John, in verse 19, Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." They said, "Do you really think that we're supposed to listen to you instead of listening to God?" Verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Here was their certainty. They said, "We're not backing down. We're not changing the message for you. We're not calming it down. We're not watering it down. We are persuaded. We are sure that these things are true, and we're willing to suffer the consequences if need be, because we are sure that we have the truth." And friend, I want to tell you, I'm sure. I am sure. I am convinced. I am persuaded that we have the truth. I believe that the Word of God is true. You say, "Well, do you know everything about everything?" No, I don't. But I know enough to know this. I know that there is a God. I know that He created me. I know that He loves me. I know that He sent His Son to die for me. I know that He saved me. I know that He's given me His Word. And I'm going to do my very best to live for Him. And with as much or as little as I know, I'm going to live my life for Him. I'm not interested in trying something else. I'm not interested in, "Well, what about this religion? And what about this teaching?" And, no. I am persuaded. And friend, I want to tell you, you got to get to the point where you're persuaded. You got to get to the point where your life is built upon the Word of God that never changes. I see quickly, number five, I see the celebration in verse 21. The Bible says, "So when they had further threatened them," here it is again, "they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done." It says, "For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed." It's interesting. Remember, we saw in the previous chapter that they had healed this lame man that was at the gate of the temple. Remember that? They said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have give we unto thee. Arise and walk in the name of Jesus." So they healed this man, and because this man was healed, everybody is rejoicing. Everybody's celebrating. Everybody's glorifying God. Now, I do think it's interesting in verse number 22 that the Bible, there's a whole verse to tell us how old the man is. You know how old he was? He was over 40. That's probably why we say over the hill, right? Because this guy could have been 70. This guy could have been 80. We don't know, but we know he was over 40. It says that he was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. But here's what I'm trying to say. There was a celebration. Because of Peter and John and their preaching and their influence, somebody got helped. Somebody got healed. I want to tell you, at Victory Baptist Church, everybody may not agree with what we teach and what we preach, and everybody may not agree with what the Bible says, but I'll tell you this. There have been a lot of people who've been helped because of this church. There may be a lot of people that don't understand why we run buses every Sunday, and if you really think about it, that's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of commitment. It's a lot of money. Fuel in those buses and maintenance on those buses and our church. Remember before COVID, we raised money for those buses and that is to your credit and that is on your account. But I want to tell you, it's a lot to run buses and people may not understand it, but I want to tell you this. There's a lot of people that have been helped. Because somebody's willing to go out on Saturday and knock on a door and invite somebody to church. And somebody's willing to come back on Sunday and bring somebody to church that may not get to go to church. That may never have another opportunity to hear the gospel. And I want to say this, when somebody gets saved, they get eternal life. But when you get saved, your physical life is blessed because of it. God is so good. And when you get to experience salvation and you get to enjoy the blessings and the goodness of God and you follow the teachings of the Word of God, there is a blessing for obedience. There is a curse for disobedience. But it's a wonderful life to serve God. It's the greatest life in all the world. There is no peace. There is no joy. There is no thrill like walking in His will. God gives His blessing when we do it His way. And these people, they were all helped. These people were all encouraged. These people all said, hey, these guys, they just made the community a better place because that lame man is no longer lame. And friend, I want to tell you, that's the kind of impact we ought to have. Yes, we're trying to see people saved, but Roanoke Rapids ought to be a better place because of Victory Baptist Church. Halifax County and Northampton County ought to be better counties because of the members of Victory Baptist Church and because you love God and because you tell the truth and because you're generous and because you give and because you're honest. God will bless those around us for what we determine to do to please Him, to serve Him, to honor Him. And all of the people glorified God because of that which was done. I want God to be glorified in my life. I want God to be glorified in my family. I want God to be glorified in this church. He's the only one that's worthy of the glory. I know at times we recognize different people and all of that, and you as a church family, you are so kind to recognize me and my wife on special occasions and our staff, and you're so good to us. But this church is not here for the glory of man. This church is here for the glory of God. And it really doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as God gets all the glory because He is worthy. And all the men glorified God. I'll close with this thought, number 6. I see in verse number 23, it says that they let them go. That they said, we can't punish these guys. We don't have enough on them. We're just going to threaten them. We're just going to try to intimidate them. We're just going to try to scare them. We're just trying to get them to back down. But verse number 23, it says, in being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And said, Lord, Thou art God, and hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And they begin to pray, and they begin to worship God, and they begin to magnify Him. But here's the last thought I want to give you tonight from this passage, and that is their company. It says that they went to their own company. That word is the word companions. You know, it's very interesting to see who people gravitate to. Isn't that interesting with children? Sometimes it's a little scary, isn't it? You know, you see who they gravitate to when they're in Sunday school or who they gravitate to when they're in the classroom or whatever. But I'm not talking about children tonight. I'm talking about adults. I'm talking about teenagers. I'm talking about when you have a choice and you get to decide, who am I going to hang around with? Who's going to be my crowd? Who am I going to be most comfortable with? I tell you who I want to be comfortable with. I want to be comfortable with the people of God. I don't want to be comfortable with people that cuss. And by the way, you're around people that cuss. I was getting ready to say I'm around people that cuss every day at work, but I'm not. I mean, let me clarify that. So I understand I have an advantage there. But we're around people. We're around people that cuss and people that live like the devil. And by the way, God has put us in this world to win the world. We're not supposed to be like them. We're not supposed to be like them to win them. We're supposed to be different. But when you get to choose, and when I get to choose, who do I want to be with? Who do I want to spend time with? I hope it's not the people that hate God. I hope it's not the people that are bitter and mad at God. I hope it's not people that have no concern, no care for the things of God. I hope when we get to choose, I hope we make a beeline to the people of God. I hope we love to be around those that love God. Proverbs says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Who's your company? Where do you go when you get to choose who you're going to hang around with? I want my best friends to be people who love God as much or more than I do. That's the crowd I want to be around. When I was growing up, I've told you the story. My dad was a Christian school teacher, and at our school in Rockford, I was just there. My wife and I were just there last weekend, and got to walk through that building, those hallways where I went to school. And in Sunday school, my K-4 teacher came up to me, and she was just telling me about memories she had about my dad. I don't think she had many. She didn't tell me memories about me, and maybe that was good. I was getting a little nervous. But you know, when I was growing up, I was a teacher's kid, and we'd be there at the school early in the morning, and we'd be there in the afternoon. But we had a gym at the school, and once the students were out of the building, the teacher's kids at a certain age, they could go to the gym as long as their parents were aware and all that. But you know what I'd do every time I got a chance? I'd play basketball with the big kids. Now, I'm not sure I was as good as Ian and Callan. I watched these guys yesterday. Brother George, I'm telling you, I don't know where they got their hoops from. I don't know if it's from you or, I don't know, Gina. I don't know where it came from. These guys, Ian and Callan, yesterday morning before the men's breakfast, these guys are launching three-pointers like Steph Curry and not missing. I was even trying to mess with them. I was even trying to get in their head, and they just swish, swish, swish. But you know what I love to do? I loved to play against people that were better than I was. Because what that did was that challenged me. And as Christians, you got to get around, and I got to get around people that are not just on our level or people that are not just below our level spiritually, but you need to get around some people that know God. And you need to ask questions about people who have served God for a lifetime. And you ought to ask questions with people that have seen answers to prayer and seen God bless. And they've been faithful and they've weathered the storms and they still love God and they still love people and they're not mad and they're not upset and they haven't quit on God. Those are the kind of people we ought to be around. And then we ought to be the kind of people that don't pull others down. But we ought to be the kind of people that pull others up and encourage God's people.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.